Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to deal with a little phrase that you find in a few places in the New Testament. And the little phrase is puffed up, puffed up. You see, in spiritual matters, it's easy to get a puffed up attitude. The Corinthians were certainly guilty of a puffed up attitude because you're going to find that little phrase puffed up more in Paul's writing to the Corinthians than you will anywhere else in the Bible. So today what we're going to do is we're going to study the verses that deal with a puffed up attitude, and we're going to find out the ways in which this puffed up attitude manifests itself. And then, to end on a good note, we're going to look at a verse of Scripture that shows us how to get rid of the puffed up attitude. So, going right into the Scripture, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, you see first that you manifest your puffed up attitude by glorying in men. Glorying in men. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" The context has to do with Paul being judged by others in the Corinthian church. And Paul said, you know, I don't even judge myself. The Lord will judge me in time. And therefore, he says in verse 5, "Judge nothing before the time." But evidently, there was judgment going on, one preacher against the other, and obviously, there was a schism there. Some thought Paul was better, and they wanted to follow him. Some thought Apollos was better, and they wanted to follow him. Some thought that Peter was better, and they wanted to follow him. Some thought, no, man, you just need to follow Jesus Christ. And they had all that kind of thing going on. Well, listen, he said, "You're puffed up for one against another." That is, you judge one man better than another. But you know what Paul said? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, Paul said, "Let no man glory in men." So you can get puffed up by judging one man better than another when you talk about your favorite preacher. Or you can get puffed up by judging yourself better than someone else. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, that's because God has chosen the base things of the world and the foolish things of the world. He didn't, you know, choose the mighty or the wealthy or the royal. You know, men are nothing in the Lord's work. And that's what Paul said. He said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." We're nothing in the Lord's work. And yet, the natural tendency of people is to get excited about their favorite preacher, to get excited about their favorite teacher. "Oh, have you heard?" And then fill in the blank. So-and-so, well-known, famous author, famous Bible teacher, famous preacher. "Oh, have you heard about him? Oh, we just love him." I mean, to the point of, hey, he's good and everybody else is bad. Well, I'll tell you something. It's great to love the man God uses to feed you in spiritual matters. But often what happens is people end up magnifying this person above all others, and practically speaking, they even magnify him above the Lord. Oh, have you heard so-and-so? Do you know who my person is? I'm not naming any names here, all right? But you can fill in the blank because you've seen people do it, or you may have done it yourself. I mean, you may be even inclined when you really get upset to take the name of the Lord God in vain, but you would never, never take this priest or this person or this author or this preacher. Never use his name like that. And you might say his name or her name, because there are a lot of women doing this now, 50 times to every one time you speak of Jesus Christ. That's how it goes. And you know what Paul said? That's a puffed up attitude. Why? Because you're glorying in men. And the truth is, we need to glorify God no matter whom he uses to edify us. Doesn't make any difference, because men are nothing in the Lord's work, certainly nothing compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So you manifest your puffed up attitude, first of all, by glorying in men. Secondly, you can manifest a puffed up attitude by talking bad about the preacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 again, but this time verses 18 and 19. We'll pick up 16 and 17 for the context. Paul says to the Corinthians, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So Paul had determined to go to Corinth. But up to this time, when he's writing this letter, he had been hindered from going. Now there were some among the brethren who had gotten puffed up and started saying that Paul wouldn't come to them. Now, what they were saying wasn't true. But because they were saying it, they undoubtedly stirred up some of the other brethren. So Paul sent Timothy to them to remind them of his ways, that's what he said, remembrance of my ways, and of his doctrine, he said, as I teach everywhere in every church. And that way he could keep these puffed up brethren from undermining the work that God had given him to do among the Corinthians. So listen, you better watch out for proud brethren who aren't afraid to run down the preacher. Now, you already understand in the first segment, the first point, you know, you're puffed up if you glory in men, but I'll tell you, at the same time, you're puffed up if you can run down the preacher, or you like to be around people who are running down the preacher. I'll tell you why. That's bad business. Listen, if the preacher is out of line, God will deal with him. Or worse yet, if he's not even a man of God, then you just need to quietly ease out of there without making a fuss. And you say, why? Because he is in a position of authority. You may not like him, but he's the pastor. It's kind of like children who, at some age in their lives, really don't like their dad. But you can't run him down. Why? Because of the office. He is the father. The order of God is God, Christ, the man, the woman. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, they're even down below that. So you got to honor mom and dad. That's a commandment, you see. And so that's the way it is in the Bible with all of these things. And when a man is not afraid to talk bad about the preacher, he's puffed up. And that's bad business. It's bad business to do it, and it's bad business to get involved in it and listen to it. All right, here's another way you can manifest a puffed up attitude. You can do it, first of all, by glorying in men. Secondly, by talking bad about the preacher. And third, by enabling sin in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verses 1 and 2. It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. So in Corinth there was a young man, as you see, and he was fornicating with his father's wife. And rather than mourn over this sin, and then remove the young man from among them, they let the thing go on. Listen, when a congregation knowingly lets sin go on in the church without confronting it or disciplining the culprit or the culprits, they're puffed up. In Corinth, evidently, they became proud of their liberty. They were proud of their tolerance for sin. You know, not realizing that the whole church was going to be affected by letting the sin go unchecked. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That's why he told them, you need to get this guy out of there in verses 3, 4, and 5. You know, preachers need to preach hard against sin. That's right. Now, not a steady diet of it. I talked to a preacher one time, and that's all he did. And his congregation had all kinds of problems with sin. Then he started giving them doctrine and started preaching the Word of God. And he told me later, he said, you know, they're getting better. He said, I think maybe I was, by harping on the sins, I was giving them some ideas. But by the same token, if you just teach and preach the Bible and you never deal with sin, then you're not preaching all the counsel of God, because God has a lot to say about sin. So when you come across that in the text, you got to preach it. And preachers need to preach hard against sin. And churches need to discipline disobedient brethren who knowingly commit sins that leaven the church. Look at verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And then Paul runs down through 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, talking about them. You need to judge them that are within. And he says, I have written unto you in verse 11, not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. So what he's saying there is, you got a situation, man, where you got sin going on in the church, and you know it, and you're enabling it because you're not doing anything about it. And he said, you know what that is? That's representative of a puffed up attitude. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He said, well, what are you going to do if a guy comes in, he's lost, and he's committing some of this sin? You get him in there, you preach the gospel to him and hope that he gets saved. But here Paul's talking about people that are members of this congregation, that are in this church, and they're letting the thing go on. And I'll tell you what, that is becoming a big problem in churches today that are puffed up about their liberty and their tolerance for sin among their own members. Paul said, you can't let that happen. All right, a puffed up attitude will manifest itself then in glorying in men. You know, there's my favorite preacher, even more so than Jesus Christ. Wouldn't say it, but that's practically speaking the way it really turns out. You can be puffed up in your attitude by talking bad about the preacher. You can be manifesting your puffed up attitude by enabling sin in the church. And you manifest your puffed up attitude by sinning against a brother through your liberty. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 1. Now, Paul says, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And then Paul runs down through the rest of this chapter, which ends in verse 13, dealing with eating things that are sacrificed to idols. See, Paul had to address a situation in Corinth where knowledgeable Christians were wounding the weak consciences of newer Christians by knowingly eating things that had been offered to idols. And the newer Christians knew that idolatry was a sin, and so to them, having anything to do with idols was sin. The older Christians, on the other hand, knew that idols were nothing but man-made images. And so, to them, eating something sacrificed to an idol wouldn't hurt them in the least, because the idol is nothing. Presumably this food was cheaper or, you know, whatever, so they go down there and eat that. But Paul said, when you have knowledge that the idol is nothing, but a newer Christian is still really on edge about idolatry, it would hurt the newer brethren for you to eat something that had been sacrificed to that idol by emboldening them to do something that they believed was a sin if they sat down to eat something that was sacrificed to an idol also. So Paul told these folks that were puffed up by their knowledge to limit their liberty. He said, I don't want you to limit your liberty by your knowledge. We all know that an idol is nothing. He said, I want you to limit your liberty by the weaker brother's conscience. So we who have been saved a while can wound the weaker conscience of a brother by going on with something in our lives that may not be a sin, but to the other person who is newly saved and has that very, very, you know, weak but very powerful conscience now against anything that he would consider to be a sin, you wound that conscience when you're, you know, letting your liberty allow you to do something that he shouldn't do and can't do, really, not without violating his conscience. You say, well, I'm just not going to worry with that. I'm just going to go right on here because I know that it doesn't hurt me at all. There you go. Puffed up in your knowledge. That's what Paul said. You manifest a puffed up attitude also by imposing doctrines of men on other Christians. Imposing doctrines of men on other, well, I say other Christians, other men. Look in Colossians chapter 2. It's the only place outside of the book of Corinthians that you find the little phrase puffed up. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And verse 19 goes on to say, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. You see it? So Paul identified among those who had introduced commandments and doctrines of men into the church some people that were puffed up. Okay? He said that a man who would impose doctrines of men on others is vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You know what he's like? He's like the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7. They got all over Jesus Christ and his disciples. How come your disciples eat with unwashing hands? Against the tradition of the elders. And the Lord had to take them down on that. He said, you know what's happened to you? You have made the commandments of God of none effect by your commandments, by your doctrines, by your traditions of men. Now, you know what? When you see the need to impose rules and regulations on the church in order to control the brethren and in order to make them appear more spiritual, you're puffed up. And you're likewise puffed up if you think that by subjecting yourself to those ordinances, you're spiritual. I mean, there are people who, you know, do the stuff, the rosary, the communion, the confession. They do all that stuff, and they think, okay, I'm spiritual because I did these commandments of men, these doctrines of men. And that doesn't make you spiritual. That just means you're adhering to the dictates of your religion. You see, this attitude, this attitude about subjecting yourself to the ordinances of men or imposing the rules and regulations on the church, this attitude is rudimentary, that is, it's basic, it's just foundational among Muslims and Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and other groups just like that. And this attitude is no good among God's people, because what happens is you get puffed up that you are doing those things that qualify you as a good adherent to the religion or to the imposed ordinances of man. So it makes you feel good about yourself. The Lord said, that's not where your acceptance comes from. It comes from me. So you get this puffed up attitude and you manifest it in a few ways that are demonstrated here in the Bible. You either manifest it by glorying in men or by talking bad about the preacher or by enabling sin in the church or by sinning against a brother through your liberty or by imposing doctrines of men on others. The question is, how do you get rid of this puffed up attitude? And Paul tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, he'll show you. There is a solution, thank God, end on a high note, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, this is that famous, wonderful chapter on charity. He says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Watch it, is not puffed up. So, what you need to do is get you a heart full of charity, because it's not puffed up. And that will remove or purge out a puffed up attitude. See, when you get saved, the thing to do is to grow and abound in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. I mean, just love Jesus and grow in that love for Jesus and abound in your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as your love for God grows, be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what he said in Ephesians. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, be filled with the Spirit of God. That way, the love of God in you will then be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost who is in you. That's Romans 5:5. And then with that kind of godly love for God and with that kind of godly love for the brethren, you know what? You won't glory in men because you will understand how much better God is than men. You'll love them because that's what what Jesus Christ told us to do, and that's what loving God will do for you. You'll love them, but you won't glory in them. You'll glory in God. With that kind of godly love for God and that kind of like godly charity for the brethren, you won't run down the preacher. If you find that you've got a situation that's difficult with the preacher, you will go to him personally and visit with him and pray for him and pray with him. And you'll love him through it. One time a congregation brought in a young preacher and they thought the guy was just going to be dynamite. And I mean, in no time at all, they realized this kid was no pastor at all. And they went to him. The pulpit committee went to him and said, listen, we recognize that we've made a mistake here to some degree because you are not a good pastor. But we're going to pray and pray diligently that God will make you a good pastor. And you know what they ended up with? They ended up with a really good pastor. God made him a good pastor. God answered their prayers. And they didn't run down the preacher. They prayed for him. They loved him. See, with that kind of godly love for God and godly love for the brethren, you won't become lax towards sin among the brethren because you know that God hates sin And in love for a sinner who is messed up in that sin, you will follow what God says and purge out the leaven. That fellow that they purged out in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 got right with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. The church was right with God in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and that man was restored into the fellowship of that church because they did it God's way. You see, with that kind of godly love and charity for the brethren, you would not dare wound the weak conscience of a brother. You wouldn't. Because you know that you have the liberty to do certain things. You've read the Bible. You know these things are not sin. They're not even close to it because of your knowledge. But you got a wound. You've got a young brother in Christ, a young sister in Christ, very, very on edge about, you know, newly saved and concerned. Listen, you would not, you just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't exercise a liberty that you know you could get away with because you wouldn't want to destroy their faith early on and get them to start committing sin in their life that they think they can get away with because they see you getting away with something that they think you shouldn't be doing. And then with that kind of godly charity for God and for the brethren, I'll tell you something else. You wouldn't force your own ungodly commandments and doctrines on men. Why? You would trust God and the preaching of God's words to shape the men. You would trust the Spirit of God to conform them to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is their predestination once they're saved. And you just would not usurp God's position and authority in their lives by sticking your own rules on them. You let God deal with them through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's what you do. Charity is the solution for a puffed up attitude. That's right. Charity is the solution to the problem with getting puffed up among the brethren. So I pray today, really, that this message has alerted you, perhaps to something going on in your life that's an indication, oops, I didn't realize I'm puffed up by going over there. It gets you to settle right back down and get serious, serious, serious about your love for God and your love for the brethren. Get away from those things that puff you up. Pray God will help you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.